Welcome back to the OU Daily Global Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman of the Orthodox Union. As always, it is great to be back with each and every one of you. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Yom Shishi, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Shelach, the 24th day of the month of Sivan. Thank you to our incredible and generous sponsors for their continued support, in particular the Schwartz family, and whose names are prominently listed in the OU Daily email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. Please note the deadline to submit a sponsorship for Monday's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. You can make a sponsorship for any point in the future, but the deadline for Mondays is today at 5 p.m. On behalf of the OU, it is my distinct honor to welcome back to the Daily Call and introduce Rabbi Eliezer Wolf of Beit David Highland Lake Shul in Miami, Florida, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Wolf slowly reciting our daily four chapters of Tehillim, Perek Chaf, Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 20, 23, 121, and 130, and it will be followed by Rabbi Wolf reciting the Mishaverach L'Cholim and Achenu. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding Monday's speaker. Techavod, with great honor, Rabbi Wolf.
Reb Naftali, thank you very much, and a big yasher koach that this program has been going on daily for more than a year now, and I have no doubt about it that the Tehillim and the united effort of everyone praying together has brought incredible blessing for Klal Yisrael, for the Jewish people, for Eretz Yisrael, and for people all over the world. So thank you to everybody who participates in this, and of course to the sponsors as well. So they tell the story that when President Kennedy was launching his effort and the project to send mankind to the moon, so the great American scientist, John Bardeen, who of course is well known, and he was the only scientist to achieve or to receive two Nobel Prizes in physics, and one of them of course was for the transistor, which he invented and which today it's hard to imagine modern electronics without the transistor. So this scientist John Bardeen advised the president against the project of sending mankind to the moon. He discouraged him. He said it was too dangerous, it was too risky, and it wasn't worth the effort and the investment involved. Apparently, when Neil Armstrong, who was training to be the first man, which ended up being the first person taking a step on the moon, when he heard about these remarks and this advice of the scientist, he responded as follows. There can be no great accomplishment without risk. And I thought about this story in light of this week's Torah portion of Shelach and the story of the spies. You know, there are probably just a few episodes in the Torah which we can point to and say this indeed was a true turning point in Jewish history and changed, in fact, the course of history. So think about the story of the spies. What was supposed to happen was a simple script. God was going to redeem the Jewish people out of Egypt. They were going to come to Mount Sinai, receive the Torah, and then from there march on in the next few weeks into the land of Israel. Moses would take the nation into Israel, and they would reach the promised land and live life over there. That's not what happened in the end. Because Moses sends the 12 spies to go scout the land of Israel, how we can conquer the land. Of course, many of those spies come back with a negative report, and they discourage the whole nation, and they send the nation into chaos, and they're crying, and they're all discouraged from entering into Israel. God becomes very angry, and in the end says, well, this generation will not be entering the land of Israel. You're going to spend the next 40 years in the desert. And 40 years later, nobody who was alive then ends up going into Israel. Even Moses himself doesn't go into Israel. And this changed more than we can imagine, because the commentaries tell us that were Moses to have entered into Israel with his people, because Moshe is Emet, he is truth, he is eternal, then the Jews would have remained in Israel forever. It would be the promised land, it would be the ultimate redemption realized then and there. But because he didn't go into Israel leading the Jewish people, everything changed. The rest of history was a story of victories and failures. We built temples, they were destroyed, we were sent into exile. built the second one against us in exile, and we're still waiting for the ultimate redemption. So let's think about this for a moment. How did the story of the spies play out? When Moses turned to God and asked God, should we send spies, God didn't tell him yes or no. God told him, well, Moses, you decide. Now, that's strange. Since when does God leave things up to us? Isn't God the one who tells us what we should do, what we should not do? We take all of our guidance from God. Why is he giving Moses the choice? The second question is that before the spies are sent out, Moses takes his student, whose name was Hoshea, and he adds a Yud to the beginning of his name to turn his name into Yehoshua. And that stands for two words, Ka Yoshiacha, may the Lord spare you and save you. In other words, clearly Moshe had a hunch that this mission may not go as planned, and he's praying for his students to be spared from the potential disaster from the other spies. So again, if Moshe has a hunch that it may not go right, why does he go ahead with this project, which, as we know in hindsight, changed the course of history? And so the answer is a very powerful idea that we can take a lesson in our own personal lives. Let's take a step back and think on a more macro level. When God created our world, our physical world with earthly beings and human beings, why did God do that? There was so much risk involved. Beforehand, the commentaries tell us and the spiritual masters tell us there were many other worlds, higher spiritual worlds with angels. And those angels, as we speak about in our prayers, all of their day, all of their time are deeply committed to God. They're praying, Kadosh, 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 and Baruch, Kvod Hashem, Imkomo. That's all they do. They worship God. Wasn't God happy enough? Why did he have to create the physical world and earthly human beings? And the answer is, it's God wanted not just that creations should worship him, but he wanted something much deeper than that. He wanted to create creatures who indeed have the option to make the choice not to worship him, and nonetheless, with their freedom of choice, choose to worship God. That is the true, valuable accomplishment. And so God creates human beings here in this world with a Yetzer Tov, with a holy inclination, and a Yetzer Hara, and an evil inclination. And he says, now, here's the Torah, try to fulfill the Torah as best you can. It's in this world where the humans have the freedom of choice whether or not to listen to God. And it's in this place where we create a true home for God, and this is an accomplishment of bringing God's presence revealed here in this world that the angels in heaven cannot accomplish. Let's take this a step further. There are two realms in our lives. There's the realm of the mitzvah or chovah realm. That's the realm where God tells us what we should and should not do. And then there's the realm of the reshut, the realm of the gray area in life. Things are voluntary, things are optional, discretionary. And there may not be the clear guidance from God about what exactly to do. In the realm of the mitzvah, the chovah, where God clearly tells us what you should and should not do, of course we have the freedom of choice, whether we fulfill that law or not. Of course we have the freedom of choice because we are challenged by the Yetzer Hara and other temptations, perhaps not to do the right thing. And so making the right decision and doing the mitzvah is a powerful effort and indeed an accomplishment of humankind. But there is an even greater accomplishment in those areas of our lives which we call reshut, meaning discretionary. There is no clear guidance from Hashem exactly what to do. But however, with our deep spiritual intuition and deep connection with Hashem that transcends just the laws of the Torah, we should be able to figure out what it is that God wants from us. And it's in that realm where we don't have the clear guidance, but nonetheless we do make the right choices in advancing the mission of our lives here in this world, that's where the true commitment to Hashem, to God, is recognized, and that's where the true holy space in our world is achieved. So think about it in our lives. We're coming up to the summer, right? So during the year, maybe we all have our schedules, our commitments, whether we attend the minyan, we pray in the morning, we show up to work, we have our weekly or nightly chavruta, learning partner, we have all our commitments that we, even those are sometimes come difficult. We need to make the choices, and hopefully most of the time we overpower our Yetzer Hara and we make those commitments work. But at a time where summer might be a time where we are off from work and we don't have the same commitments, and then it's not as easy to keep up to the schedules, and it's more of a gray area. are we still as committed that we can make those commitments of prayer times and study times and mitzvah times and volunteering for the community and connecting with the community? It's during those times and those experiences that the true accomplishment of recognizing our deepest commitment to the Torah and to Hashem and creating a holy space in this world is truly recognized. So yes, it is a risk, because it's creating a world where humans can actually fail and do the wrong thing. But without that risk, the true accomplishment of holiness and connection with Hashem would not be recognized. And the same goes, the same goes for Moshe Rabbeinu. Up until that time, everything the Jews were doing were what they were told to do. Now Hashem is giving Moshe a chance. I'm not telling you yes or no to send the spies. You decide. And Moshe recognized the mission is risky, and it might just fail. He knew about that in advance. But without exercising that freedom and going into that space where we can truly decide who we're going to be and what we're going to do, without entering that realm, there's no true spiritual accomplishment. So may we learn from the spies, may we learn from Caleb and Yeshua that made the right choice and decisions for ourselves in the summer, for our children who are finishing their school years, to recognize that in every area of our life, there's the right thing to do, and there's a decision that can advance God's will, and we should have the strength and the power to always be on the right side of history, and the right side of support of Israel, and the right side of bringing God's presence here into this world in a more revealed way. On that note, we're going to now recite the Tehillim, and we're going to start with chapter 20. Lam Natzeyach Mizmor LeDavid Yanch Adonai B'yom Tzara Yesagevcha Shem Elohe Yaakov Yishlach Ezrecha Mikodesh U'mitziyon Yisadeka Yizkor Kol Minchaisecha Va'ilascha Yedashne Sela Yiten Lecha Chilvavecha V'chol atzatcha yimalei. Niranana b'shuvatecha uv'shem eleheinu nidgol. Yimalei Adonai kol mishaloisecha. Ata yodati ki oshi Adonai meshichoi ya'anehu mishmei kadoshoi b'gvorois yesha yiminoi. Elev arechev ve'elev asusim. Va'anachnu b'shem Adonai eleheinu nazkir. Heima karo v'nafalu va'anachnu kamnu v'nisaydad. Adinoi Hoshia, Hamelech Ya'aneinu, V'yoyim Kareinu. Chapter 23. Mizmor David, Adinoi Roi Eloi Echzor, Bin Ois Deshe Yarbitzeni, Almei Menuchos Yenahaleni, Nafshi Yeshevev, Yancheini, V'magle Tzedek, Leman Shemoi, Gam Kielech Begei Talmoves, Loi irara ki ato imadi, shiftecha umishantecha, heima yinachamuni. Tareich lefonai shulchan, neged tereroi. Dishanta vashemen roishi, koisi revaya. Ahach toiv vachesed yidrfuni, kol yimei chayahoyim, vishavdi beveis adinohoi, liyorech yamim. Chapter 1:21. Shir lamalois eso enayel heharim meyayin yavoi ezri ezri meyim adonai osei shamayim vaaretz al yitain lamot raglecha al yanum shomrecha hine lo yanum velo yishan shemer yisrael Adinoi Shemrecha, Adinoi Tzilcha, Al Yad Yeminecha. Yemam HaShemesh Lo Yakeka, V'yareyach Balayla. Adinoi Yishmarcha Mikol Ra, Yishmar Es Nafshecha. Adinoi Yishmar Tzeischa Uvayecha, Me'ata V'yahad Oilam. Chapter 1:30. Shir HaMa'alois Mima makim kirasicha Adonai. Adonai shima vekoili. Tihiyena aznecha kashuvois. Lukol tachanunoi. Im avoinois tishmar ya. Adonai mi yamoide. Ki imcha aslicha. Leman tivarei. kivis yadinoi, kivso nafshi, velidvaroi hoicholti. Nafshi ladonai, mishohimrim laboiker, shohimrim laboiker. Yachel yisrael ladonai, kim adonai yachesed, v'harbei imoi fedus. Hu yifde es yisrael, mikol avoy noisohov. I'm now going to make the Mishaberach prayer for all those that need a speedy refuah shleima, a complete and speedy recovery. And I'll pause. When I pause in the middle of the prayer, please have in mind all those that you are praying for. Mishaberach avoseinu, Avraham, Yitzchak, v'Yaakov, Moshe v'Yaharon, David v'Shlomo, hu yivarech v'hu yirapei es. Ba'avur shemitzpalelim ba'avuram v'nedil mitzdaka ba'avuram b'ischazeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu yimali rachim alihem lachlimam l'rafoisam ulachazikam ulachayoisam v'ishlach lahem mehera refuah shleima min hashamayim v'chol evareim v'gideihem b'soich sh'ar chole Yisrael refuah hanefesh or refuah haguf. And now, let's sing together the song of Achenu, praying for our brethren all over the world, especially in the land of Israel. You can sing with me together.
Achenu, kol beis Yisrael. Achenu, kol beis Yisrael. Anesunim batsavodro uvahashivya oimdim bein bayom uvein bayahabosho amakoim yirachim yirachim aleihem v'yotziyem mitzara v'irevacho Umeyafela leyaira, umishibod legeyola, ashto bagala, uvizemane kahariv, veyimru, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much to Rabbi Wolf. Rabbi Wolf, I want to piggyback on something that you were sharing, if it's okay for me to piggyback on it as well, but I very much enjoyed your Dvar Torah, your Divrei Chizuk, and I'm going to get in trouble if I say it was one of my favorites, but it was certainly one of my favorites that we've heard over the past year. Parsha Shlach, it's not a great story because it's a downward turn for Bnei Yisrael in the desert. But one of my most favorite psukim in the entire Torah is found in this week's Parsha, and it ties in so well with what you said. When the Meraglim, when the spies come back with a negative report, and perhaps Yeshua is looked upon as being Moshe's number two, so the Klal Yisrael doesn't necessarily want to listen to Yeshua, but Kalev is given a platform, he's given the capacity to talk about what he had seen, and Am Yisrael stopped and they listened. The pasuk says, "Vayas Kalev et Am al Moshe v'yomer Olel na'alev Yerushanu osaf yachol nuchalav." Kalev says to the entire nation of Israel, he gives the ultimate locker room speech. The team is down. It's halftime. The team is down by 30 points. What does Kalev say? We shall surely ascend and conquer it, for we can surely do it. And Rashi unbelievably picks up on what Kalev says in the pasuk. What does Rashi say? And you have to think about Rashi writing this 1,000 years ago, and this ties in Rabbi Wolf to what you were sharing about NASA, President Kennedy, and Neil Armstrong's response. What does Rashi say on the pasuk of Olah Na'aleh, that we shall surely ascend? Afilu shebashamayim, that even if our destination, even if we're wherever we're going, is in the sky, if it's in the heavens, if it's on the moon, v'hu omer, if he were to say, asu v'omot, we'll make ladders, we'll build spaceships. If our destination is to go anywhere, if a Kaddish Baruch Hu tells us, if God tells us that the land of Israel is our destination, even if it's seemingly impossible, we can do anything, even defy what we believe is natural. And so I thought it really ties in so well because, to your remarks, it's not always simple, it's not always easy, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God gives us the capacity and the ability to make choices. And Khalid really set the tone that we can do anything if we put our mind to it and to go against whatever the trend may be. So I apologize not taking away any of your beautiful Dvar Torah. I just wanted to add to it. Thank you so much. And we hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all of those in need will be answered with tova for good. Please join us again on Monday at 1 p.m. as we will hear words of inspiration from Rabbi Bram Weinberg of the Kemp Mill Synagogue in Silver Spring, Maryland. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, meaningful, restful, and safe Shabbos. Shabbat Shalom.